And now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and welcome to Shout Out. I'm Andy Shilton and she's the lovely Mitch Graham Morrow.
I am indeed. And today on the show is cosplay.
Any ideas? Well, Nathan will be here to explain all.
And disgraceful behaviour.
Oh, as if. Who else could explain it but the one and only Miss Discharge herself?
All coming today.
Right here on Shout Out. Ba-da-bum.
Without your bum bums.
No, we were going to try and ban him, Mitch. But...
I might actually change that talkover jingle that we got there. It's cool, but we've had it for a while now, haven't we? So I could.
How long have we had that one?
Oh
for?
Gosh, a fair few years now.
Since beginning?
No, because it used to be the Queerest Folk theme tune.
That's right. Yeah.
We could do it ready for our 10th anniversary, couldn't we?
Yeah, well, do a new
years.
One.
That's 2 years.
Just refurbish the show. Well, it's spring. Do it anyway.
Yeah.
It's what we're doing for you, isn't it?
Yeah. we'll have to vote on an intro tune.
Sorry, I'm back on form again.
Like, you are. So. Yeah, I was
so
getting
did you
bored.
Notice that was like a marvellous... That's like the first time I think we've got the intro like really spot on for
it
God
was
knows
perfect.
How long.
There was an awful lot of excitement over that.
Yeah, there was.
I think there's Oscars and BAFTAs being mentioned.
I hope so, because you know I'm on form too.
Yes,
so
now,
we'll talk about it a little bit later, but sad news. The palace is closing down.
Yes.
This week.
It's shocking.
That is very sad.
It was really sweet as well, because regular listeners will know that Swarm, South West Rubber Men, they have their meet there every couple of months, and Jo very kindly extended her closing by a week so Swarm happen on Saturday.
Yeah, she's a That's lovely really lady.
She's lovely, yeah.
Yeah.
And we do wish her all the best with whatever she decides to do with the future. Fingers crossed, it won't stay closed for long, the venue. There's all kinds of talk going on, so I'm not going to spread rumours, but...
And it will stay within LGBT
Well, who knows?
Community.
Let's
hope so.
We don't know.
Well, it'll be sad to see it go. It was a great venue.
It's a very iconic one. It started off life as a hotel, didn't it?
It did. Yes,
a slanting one.
Yes. With the wobbly floors. And
yes, it's Bristol's Leaning Tower.
Yeah. But it's a fantastic building. I had a friend who worked on the roof and he just said it was just fantastic views.
I bet the view's amazing. Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah. And architecturally, it's really iconic, isn't it, on Old Market Street?
Because it's not the only one. I didn't realise, but a few weeks ago, is it called The Dutch? Or was called The Dutch? The gym bar that was a little bit further up, that's closed as well.
I can't remember
what on earth it was called before. Do you remember what it was called before?
There's a lot of bars.
No, I can't remember.
Sorry.
Anyway, it's a real shame. It's kind of like our scene, as in, like, you know, what traditionally gets referred to as the gay scene.
Yeah,
a little bit
does,
in context,
it?
But it's disappearing.
Shrinking.
Which is kind of a sign of the times, I think, personally. Mm. It's kind of good that, you know, things are so much better, we don't need a gay scene. But it's also really sad, as someone who used it extensively when I was a lot younger, to see it disappearing.
Yeah, absolutely. So. And I still think people need it. It's a great source of support for a lot of people and community. You know, it gives you the sense that there's... You know, bigger community. It's the scene is the scene. It's a big part of.
You can dance your woxits off in the palace. It's great.
Yes. And they even play ABBA.
Yeah. Oh, you mean songs you remember?
And Earth, Wind and Fire. I've heard there.
Now, Steffi, we've got a new feature on the show, haven't we? Called My Five.
We
had the first one of last week, which is
Brickstow podcast. So we've got a couple of organisations doing podcasts in the future, but we're also inviting our listeners to send in your 5 minutes, whether it's a day in your life, a week, a 6 months in your life, or your whole life. But this one's mine.
It's yours. And classically, I should say, in Steffi tradition, it's not 5 minutes, it's 6 minutes, 22 seconds. But we'll forgive you.
That's including jingles, excuse me.
So here she is.
The Outshout My Five on Shout Out Radio.
Oh, I doubt I'll ever know the reasons for being born this way, but at four, I knew who I was. But that didn't fit others' expectations of where they thought I should fit. I was born looking out the world as me. I still have those same eyes, the same me looking at a changing world. Not necessarily for the best, but change it does. My core being hasn't. I always preferred playing with the girls, doing the things they did. Maybe in a tomboyish way, but that was where I gravitated. I was born into a world where Christianity had removed any semblance of self, especially if it was not conforming to its narrow beliefs. It had forced removal of any variables, the fact that before Christianity, the Greeks, the Romans, native tribes, and all the other forms of paganism had an openness of different, especially where transgender was concerned. There was no fixation on someone outside the gender norms Christianity enforces. It was and still is a male construct, as is Islam. Control the populace through fear, remove any form of power from women, and promise eternal life to those who do as they're told. Oh, and let's not forget telling tales on your neighbour earns masses of heaven points. I do, however, respect people's choice to have belief. Religions make good crutches for those in need. They provide succour, sanctuary and security, but not for those who don't fit into their tight version of humanity. The world is changing, though. The physical violence meted out on me as a 5-year-old by the Christian-controlled school in 1959 is now no more. All schools should be free of any religion. Children should be brought up to value different, to respect different, and to be educated to understand different. My gender dysphoria, a recent term in my life, has been hard to handle. It's not a choice. The high suicide rate of those born gender dysphoric are testament to that and to the harshness of people with a very narrow view of humanity. Do I wish my life had been different? Well, it was difficult. When I was growing up, there was no information on gender dysfunctions. I had no clue as to why I had an innate sense of being female, but a body that was male. I also thought I could handle it. At 17, I fell in love. I told Lynn straight away, but neither of us had a clue what it was or the consequences. We both just carried on, in love, a love that nothing could come between. A year later, we had our first child, then a bit later, another. That was my reason to live and cope with whatever was thrown at me. Our boys were our life. So to answer that question, no. My life has been my life. If I'd been born female, then I would never have met the person that, after all this time, I'm still in love with. The boys wouldn't have been born. So no, my life had to be the way it was. Our struggles through our marriage were nearly always around me not being able to cope. Every few months, it was like a pressure valve going off. Well, we seemed to plough through it each time. It was when the boys left home to join the army that things got worse. I was coping less and less. But still, I was saying, I can handle this. Then one day, I didn't. The trans magazine I was editor of for the previous 10 years stopped. All of my strength was concentrating on surviving this moment in my life. I was fast-tracked through psychiatrists into surgery, but the previous 3 years had taken its toll. Most of that time, Lynn and I talked and talked and talked more. We spoke to friends, but I wasn't handling this feeling inside. So strong, not at all. Lynn had desperately tried to cling on to her husband, and I desperately tried not to do this. This huge, overwhelming sense of needing to sort me out. When the decision was made to go forward, it was very quick. Friends and family were all supportive. Work were brilliant. Lynn was there for me. Our boys supported both of us. Then came the guilt. Overwhelming and totally destructive. Yes, I was happy at last to be me, but I felt I'd let everyone down, especially Lynn. There is a fear to jumping off the metaphorical cliff, a fear so great you throw up. Looking over the cliff edge, thick mist blocked the view of the chasm. How far will I fall? Will it kill me? Will I cling to a ledge? Will the ocean cushion my fall? But then I could drown. If I don't die, will I be maimed to live a life alone? Feeling whole, but so separated from the world. I jumped. I hit the sides going down, but my fall was soft, and I was able to climb slowly back to the top. Helping hands grabbed me, arms folded around me. I was protected physically and spiritually. our relationship would never be the same again. The problem is, we are still in love with each other, so whereas my sexuality is the same, hers couldn't change. She was unable to make the leap to becoming gay. Everyone's story is different. This is mine, the good, the bad, and the ugly. May your gods guide you but not control you. Nobody can see around the corners and our lives moves ever forward. Everyone's leap is shrouded in mist. Don't stop. Take the bends. Make the leap.
You've been listening to the Outshout My Five.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Probably doesn't need the introduction, that one, but that something inside so strong. How do you say it? Labby Seafra?
Labby Seafra.
Labby Seafra.
Thank you, Mitch.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah. Well, very well known song.
I remember he came to. He did perform at Bristol Pride in 1993 or 4. Pretty sure Labby Seafra came down.
Oh, hello.
It was at the Watershed. Yes, you were only just born then, so it's Nathan, so you know.
Yeah, well, it was about because he's South African, wasn't he? So
yes,
that was about South African, but well, obviously the LGBTQ community there.
Yeah. So
but it seemed to fit the Nelson Mandela generation as well, as people were growing up in a split Africa.
Yeah.
So, now, talking of well-known, welcome back.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm very good. Yes.
I think people remember you before. You've been on Shadow many times, so it's been a little while.
It's been a long time,
So who are you?
Oh, my name is Nathan. Hello.
Nathan's come along to us about cosplay, or as I'm sure I used to call it at school, fancy dress parties.
Yeah, well.
Dressing up.
Well, you can still call it dressing up, fancy dress, whatever you want.
What's so different about cosplay then?
Well, cosplay is basically more around dressing up as a character, whether or not it's from popular media or a character of your own design. It's a sort of mashup of costume play, which also sort of links quite close to the Japanese word of it, which I'm not going to try and...
Oh, go on. Go on. It's live radio.
What is the Japanese word for cosplay?
I have no idea.
Can you say it?
No, unfortunately not.
Oh, Nathan.
I don't think it's on our show notes either.
No,
is it?
I can't see it on the show notes. Disappointed.
And it majority started sort of at conventions, mostly sci-fi conventions. A lot of
people. I was
going
to say, that's the first thing I would think of.
Yeah,
you know, like Star Trek being the classic one, and like, you know, you could buy the uniforms and wear them.
Well, a lot of people, when they think of cosplay, they originally think of it happening and starting in Japan, when actually it more started in America when they started doing sci-fi conventions. In the first sci-fi convention was in 1939 in New York City, and they used to call it fan costuming instead. And then sort of like a popular sort of Japanese company went over to America, saw this happening, because it was happening also in Japan, but they didn't have sort of like a name for it. It then got popular as cosplay in sort of about the 1980s, sort of middle 1980s, and then with the growth of with video games and comic books and anime, especially coming over to the West sort of like in the early 90s, that's when more Westerners started finding out about cosplay, and more conventions were happening. Conventions were more sort of well-known, advertised. More people were going along, more people were taking interest, and now it's a massive part of the convention scene. It's got its own events in many sort of anime, pop culture conventions now.
So is it just organised for a cosplay thing?
No, I mean, so I've been going to anime conventions for over 10 years now, and a good majority of an anime convention will be cosplay, because it's more of a sort of Japanese culture, Japanese pop culture interest festival in a way. So there'll be anime, there'll be manga, there'll be panels with people talking about different things, maybe even the culture of Japan, but then cosplay will play such a big part of that as well. And people find these conventions, because they're such a nice, welcoming space, as a perfect opportunity to do cosplay and to dress up as characters and meet new people and go, oh, I know that character that you're dressing up as. And it's a great way to meet new people, to learn new skills, to get any sort of creative outlet that you have. And it's just a good old amount of fun, really.
So can you talk a little bit more about the characters and how people can express themselves within those kind of...
Well, you can mostly sort of like what the kind of cosplayer that I am. I'm a very casual cosplayer. So a lot of the stuff is sort of like things that I've stuck together with hot glue and found in charity shops. And it sort of resembles some sort of character that I want to dress up as. And then people go as far as, you know, obviously they're making their own patterns, so they make their own costumes, making their own weapons from, say, just sort of paper mache to a more sort of sturdier foam warbler, things like that.
It sounds very hot to be wearing.
If you, especially sort of like the bigger conventions, they're usually during the summer. If you're wearing quite a lot, then you do get very hot or very sweaty. I've known a lot of cosplayers who will spend months and months making a costume just to wear it for about 2 hours at a convention.
And then it'd be rigging with
So I know there's cosplay and then there's reenactment as well. So is there a difference to those two kind of...
Yes and no. Things? I mean, with cosplay, there will be people who will really get into the character. There's some people who do it just because they love the character or they love the show, and they want to dress up as that and meet other people. And then there will be people who do like live action role play. And there's also LARPing as well. Yeah. Which is more people creating their own characters and then dressing up as their own characters. And then obviously going out and spending like a whole weekend conversing as their character, fighting as their character.
But is it a level of escapism? Is that one of the appeals of it?
Yeah, so, definitely.
Because it's growing quite big on the LGBT plus scene, isn't it?
As
a thing to do.
I mean, I probably wouldn't have come out as trans if I hadn't started cosplaying. I lived in sort of like a very small village, and I didn't know anyone else who did this. I was way into anime and manga and comic books when I was younger. And when I suddenly started going to these conventions and I started cosplaying, especially in my preferred gender, it then started becoming very clear to me about what I actually wanted in my life, what I actually was. And I met a lot of other people who were in the LGBT community. There's a huge amount of people in the, like, obviously myself, I'm trans and I'm bisexual, and the gentleman who I'm running with, Mart, as well, he's also bisexual. And there's just a huge community of LGBT people who love that escapism and then find out that they're actually very included with a lot of other people who have understood where they've come from as well, and just want to dress up and have a good time, really.
Because there's that ability to just experiment, isn't there, with these costumes and gender roles as well.
Yes.
So, you know, a bit like 3D Dungeons and Dragons or something, you know, where they've got these whole kind of communities of different... I used to play Dungeons and Dragons and loved it. You know, it was just great fun. But
Dungeons and Dragons is a very big thing now. Yeah. Very, very big now.
Yeah, it's really made a comeback.
Yeah. My daughter's even doing it now.
I remember it was a cartoon when I was a kid. And I was like, what?
Yeah, it's
now,
a really big
deal. Did I read somewhere correctly, you got an event coming up?
Yes. So there is... We used to have a cosplay club nights back when I first moved to Bristol, and then they suddenly sort of petered out after a while, and me and my friend who I spoke on earlier, Mart, we decided, well, why don't we do one? Why don't we create an event? Because I've known quite a few people in Bristol who were like, oh, I'm really into cosplay, but I don't know where to do it. And we thought, this is the perfect
opportunity. So we're conditioned by the sounds of it.
Yes.
They'll be bringing their wands.
Yes. So we chose the Old Market Assembly because it's a beautiful venue. It's got a beautiful chance for people to get some really nice photos of themselves in their costumes. And it's a nice chance for people, no matter what sort of level of costume making they are, whether or not they're just going to, you know, buy something from a fancy dress shop, or whether or not they've made it all from scratch. It's just a good excuse to get into a costume, go out, have a laugh, meet some new people, and hopefully have a really good time.
And there's no particular etiquette for, like, oh, you've got the best costume. There's no, like, competition.
Or can you come and not be in costume if you're kind of, like, interested?
Yeah, you can definitely come in if you're not in costume. We know that obviously people might not have the time or the resources or the money to make themselves like a costume. Or they may not even have the confidence either. So, but if they want to come along and see other people in costumes, I bet then they sort of kind of go, oh, I kind of wish I was dressed up now.
They get inspired.
Curious to see what you've been making. Huh? We'll have to come along and have a look.
Oh, you have to. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
so do we know when the next one is?
So this will be on the 14th of April. It starts at 9:30 at Old Market Assembly. Tickets are on sale now. They are £7. So if you come in cosplay or not, if you buy online, they're only £7. If you come on the door, it's £8 if you're in cosplay and £10 if you're not. And they can all be bought at Level Up
the
Bristol.
Caveat.
Oh, yeah.
And is there other stuff going on? Have you got DJs? And
yes, so we have three DJs, two DJs who are very well known on the UK anime scene, DJ Shenny and DJ Digi. And we also have our homegrown DJ Lexi as well, who used to run in the palace as well.
I've heard that. She's
and we also have our very special performance of Professor Elemental, if anyone has ever heard of him.
Let's play while that's my next track.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm a particularly big fan, so maybe it was a little bit of my own doing.
I have to admit, when you sent it through, I listened to it. I was like, oh, I really like this.
So. If you enjoy this track, he's even better live. So I'd recommend coming just for him. And I mean, his concert tickets are usually £10 anyway, so you're getting a bargain.
Well, apologies if you're listening on the podcast because you won't hear it. You'll just have to go to the event. So listen, thanks ever so much for coming in, mate. Yeah, it's lovely to see you again, and I hope the event goes really well. So why don't you intro this?
Okay, so this is Professor Elemental with his first, one of his very first well-known tracks, which is Cup of Brown Joy.
The Shout Out Podcast.
A little bit on the mad and quirky side, that one.
Oh,
I
kind of like that. You know, it is very twinkly.
So, hello, James and Matthew.
Hello.
Cup of tea in the way of music, that
one? Well, it was talking about cups of tea and the strength in it. That's what caught my ears,
Cup of Brown Joy.
Yes, yeah. I love a Cup of Brown Joy.
Yes.
Is that a West Country drink?
Mine's
brandy.
Oh, okay.
I don't know, is the honest truth. So we'll have to ask.
Probably very
Nathan
cloudy cider, I think. Yeah, so. West Country drinks.
Anyway, the guys are here. Let's get some news headlines.
This is Shout Out News on Thursday, the 15th of March.
If you like to look your best in stylish t-shirts and do some good for the community at large, then rush on over to the website of the Albert Kennedy Trust, the charity which cares for homeless queer youth. The LGBT young people make up something around 1 in 4 of the under 25-year-olds on our streets, and many of them have harrowing stories of being rejected by their families. Top designer Henry Holland has designed an exclusive t-shirt for the Trust, which retails at £30. Not a bad price for a designer shirt. And the cost equal to what is needed to take a queer youngster off the streets. Follow our website link to the Albert Kennedy Trust order page.
The latest issue of Gay Times is out now. Number 481 of the venerable old magazine features fashion, lifestyle and politics and includes a special feature of Pansy Beat, an underground queer fanzine which was published between 1988 and 1990. It featured sex and music and was influenced partly by the punk rock underground magazine scene and partly by the limited scope of the gay press in that period.
The media are sometimes accused of being something of a boys' club, and to an extent this is true, particularly of more established broadcasting organisations such as ITV or the BBC. However, many media outlets came up trumps for International Women's Day last week, with a wide variety of programmes and initiatives marking it. The Morning Star published a special expanded edition dedicated to looking at the last century of struggle and rooting women's equality firmly in the struggle for workers' rights. Community radio stations the length and breadth of the country got involved with felicitating programmes by and about women, and even the unusual, non-political commercial broadcasting sector got involved. In the Western country, The Breeze Radio in Bristol and Western played every other record by a woman and gave special prominence to the feminist and girl power anthems.
Quite Threatening is the name of a new fanzine publication published by Sisters Uncut about feminist and transfeminist direct action in Bristol, where activists squatted in a former public building on Gloucester Road, turning it into a social centre for women and trans people. The booklet, which retails for £1, looks at how activists turned the building into a free space occupied by women. They reject the politics of separatist feminism, which excludes trans people, and also challenge male left-wingers who were disappointed about not being part of the project. The booklet is available from Bristol's bookstore Hydra, plus radical meeting places and record shops across the region.
Rob Holford has spoken candidly on coming out as a gay in the world of heavy metal. Holford is the lead singer of the heavy metal band Judas Priest, who were formed in the West Midlands in the 1969, and Anthem's Breaking the Law has been variously adopted as a gay theme and general statement of rebellion. The Guardian newspaper cites Judas Priest as a major influence on the development of heavy metal, with the band's trademark SM leather look also having translatic impact on the fashions of other metal bands. Robert Holford came out officially in an interview with The Advocate magazine in 1998, although he says that new people in the metal scene were unaware of his homosexuality. He has been voted as in the top 40 rock vocalists by the listeners to the national radio network Planet Rock.
The Anglo-Irish paper The Irish World reports that Leo Varadkar, the Irish Taoiseach, has contradicted Theresa May in saying that the Republic of Ireland will not join three-way talks over the future of the land border between Britain and Ireland in Ulster. The first openly gay Taoiseach said that Ireland would be represented by at all talks by the 27 negotiators, referring to the remaining 27 states of the European Union.
And a fond adieu to the new Musical Express, which is closing down its print edition to concentrate on an online edition only. What has this to do with LGBT people, you may ask? Well, the NME, as the paper was known, has a long history of campaigning for LGBT civil rights, dating back to the 1980s, although before then its commitment was uneven and patchy, a product of its times. Key moments in the paper's history including linking up with Radio Luxembourg in 1952 to produce the first British record charts and inaugurating the independent charts in 1981 at the height of post-punk euphoria. In 1991, the paper humiliated the top band Happy Mondays by printing the homophobic outbursts of Shaun Ryder and Bez. And in 1993, it was one of the first papers to look at the rise of metal, of the metal and punk-influenced queercore and riot girl scenes of Seattle.
For these news stories and more, check out our website at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
For Shoutout News, this has been James Wilkinson
and Matthew Tosh.
Shout Out News.
National and international LGBT news for you.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Imagine Dragons and Believer. I tell you like that, I'm bopping along.
Yes, I do, actually. I'm thinking...
So, big fan of Imagine Dragons. So,
how can I make that a Zumba tune?
Is that a Zumba-type music?
Yeah, definitely. Anything is, as long as it's got a...
It's got a beat.
A 4-bar or 8-bar, it's fine.
Anyway, we got... hang on, let me say that. It's a bit of a tongue twister, isn't it? Miss Discharge.
Well, yes, that's about right.
Discharge.
Hello.
welcome to Shout Out to you. So now you've come in to talk to us about disgraceful behaviour, something we know nothing about.
Absolutely, of course. Butter wouldn't melt, but it would burn.
So give us some kind of an idea. What is disgraceful behaviour? So, I'm assuming this is an event rather than the context of just being naughty.
Hand in hand
or something.
Disgraceful behaviour is a cabaret show that's coming to Old Market Assembly. Its first event will be on the April the 7th.
Do you know, that place is going to have to start paying royalties, the amount we keep making.
I love Old Market Assembly.
They are good, though.
They are brilliant. They've been leading the charge in Old Market, and they've been fantastic. I'm huge fans.
But this is a different thing, because we talked to them about their event last week, but this is something completely different.
Well, it's partnership with Old Market Assembly, especially with Claire Lowe, who's been incredibly supportive of the local burlesque scene. She's been really fantastic. The event is a kind of a mixed cabaret. It's interdisciplinary interdisciplinary. So we've got pole performers, we have drag performers, we have burlesque performers and circus performers, and it's a real mix. You'll just have to come along and see. Tickets are £5 and available online.
So April 7th.
April 7th,
and that's what day is that?
So that's a Saturday. It's doors at 9:30, show at 10. There's performers coming from all over. So we have Benjamin Butch coming from London. We have Eva Serration from Manchester. We have from Bristol, Cerebral Slurt. We have also got Ophelia Wilde, Tesla Coyle, and all the way aus Berlin, the incredible Ryan Stecken.
Ryan Stecken. Is that person famous for anything?
Ryan Stecken was on German Idol. They are an incredible performer, international headline drag and queerless performer, part of the international garbage family drag house, which I'm also a part of. Ryan Stecken is an incredible, incredible singer with an absolutely phenomenal look, and they entertain everyone, so you better get your tickets.
And you're hosting it, aren't you?
I am, yes. Yeah.
I've got to ask, what makes you the international nightmare of drag?
I travel constantly for performances. I recently did a tour in America. I was on tour for a month in America as part of the Austin International Drag Festival, and then doing my own solo tour, which was the tour.
Are you kind of quite nasty on the stage? Because I'm assuming that's right. It says nightmare of drag here.
I am. I generally perform like a lot of a darker style of drag. So my performances, my looks are themed very much and steeped very much in like punk, post-punk and goth rock.
Yeah.
So it's all kind of draws from that. So a lot of the music that I perform, because I sing live, a lot of my work is produced as sung live. So I do things like Susie and the Banshees. I do things like, you know, old Adamants when they were still like a really dark punk group. You know, I do that sort of stuff.
Happened with drag? Because, I mean, you watch things like RuPaul's Drag Race and there's always the lip sync for your life and the like. And
I lip sync as well.
Remember, the traditional was that drag did lip sync, but more modern times,
it depends on the context. So that, you know, drag is multidisciplinary. So you know, drag has involved many different disciplines for so many years. So you've got you have stripping, you have lip syncing, you have live sung, you have all sorts of different performances. You have pole. You have loads of different disciplines that come in with it. You know, like Crystal Beth from London, she does like aerial performances as well with her pieces. You know, there's people like me who live sing or who also strip. You know. There's people like Maxi Glamour from America who do also very similar to me, or Maymay Graves who do like, you know, a dark drag with a lip sync or with live sung or with stripping.
So
and
it's just
sort of stuff.
Become quite a mix.
Yeah, it's always been a mix. It's always been broad. I think people always kind of want to put it in categories. That's the thing a lot of the time with like the RuPaul's Drag Race thing.
Yeah.
It's all about putting it into a box and making it something that's, you know, like I never really listened to people when they used to say like the comedy queens and that sort of stuff. It's just like drag is often funny. So that's where that comes from.
Yeah.
People are very obsessed with sticking us in like a little box that makes sense.
And it is, I like that whole ability to just be anything, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, drag is all about playing with identity and you know, and working with different things. You know, I predominantly work on the burlesque scene. You know, that's why, you know, I co-produced the Bristol Burlesque Festival with Tuesday LaVeau. I co-produced Coochie Crunch with her as well, which is a fantastic, you know, Coochie Crunch is a bi-monthly burlesque event. We have the Bristol Burlesque Festival, which is annual. You know, we have headliners from all over the world. Mm. You know, we returned this September for our sixth year. You know, it's a really broad range. And part of the thing with like being the international nightmare drag, you know, there's air quotes happening that you can't see that's happening. You know, it's like I start next week, myself and one of another incredible dancer from Bristol, Ophelia Wilde, we're doing a small tour in Berlin. I start my residency in Berlin next week, so I'll be working for Zumstark in August. Yeah,
congratulations.
Yeah, thank you very much.
And I like this phrase queerlesque. That's sort of kind of sums it up a little bit.
It's certainly, yeah. I mean, like, queerlesque is definitely like a really great term for kind of stuff that people like me do. I got it from the incredible performer Ruby Three Wise Jones, who's the big fat queerlesque Canadian. She's incredible, one of the most amazing burlesque dancers working in the UK at the moment, an international name.
Yeah, so can we Google these people?
You certainly can. Please come and look at my Facebook page. I'm a Delighted Discharge. I'm the same on Instagram. You can find me on Twitter. You can also go to theoldmarketassembly.co.uk and find all the stuff on there for disgraceful behaviour. You can find us on Facebook. You can find us pretty much everywhere. Everywhere that you can be, we are.
Yes.
So that's the thing.
Yes.
Cool. It sounds like it's going to be a really, really good event.
It's going to be a really fun event.
Am I right? It's like lots of separate acts. So you're doing the big thing together as well?
It's a lot of separate pieces. I like to have lots of different things that will take you to different places. So the whole thing whenever I work in shows is that we like to take you on a bit of a journey, and this is going to be a very interesting journey. We have some very incredible performers. I'm super excited to be welcoming them all to this stage. And as I say, it's completely interdisciplinary, so there's so many different things that you can see and hear. And it is a cutting edge cabaret, so it takes you to lots of different places.
Cool. Like, so give us date and time again.
So it's April 7th. That's at the Old Market Assembly.
9:30.
At 9:30. Doors at 9:30. Show at 10. It's going to be a fantastic lineup. You should all come along. Tickets are £5. Or if you're a slowpoke, you can get them on the door. But they'll be £10 then. So get them now.
And of course, obviously, we know the venue well enough to know it is wheelchair accessible as well.
Absolutely.
Is great,
it is wheelchair accessible.
Is it Old Market Assembly's website for tickets?
If you go on to Old Market Assembly, on their website, you can see that. You can also find it on through their web presence on Facebook. If you go on to my profile on Facebook as well, you can find it all there. It's an event listing on Facebook, but it's also available to buy online through Brown Paper Tickets.
Brilliant. Excellent. Cool. Well, listen, I hope the show goes really well. We must. I really wanted to come to the one that was on this weekend.
Yeah.
I saw some of the photos. It looked fantastic.
Yeah, it was fantastic. I was doing a bit of like go-go and I sang at the end as well, so that was really fun. Alyssa Vandell and Claire created a really fantastic event, so it was a real pleasure to be to do even a small part working with them. They were fantastic. Amazing. It was a great show. It really was.
Anyway, best luck with it.
Thank you, and we'll
have to see if we can try and get something with the microphone.
You'll have to come down. Hashtag become a disciple. You know, we're all very branded. Come down, it'll be fun.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Anyway, stay with us. We'll be back in a minute. You're listening to Shout Out,
the Shout Out Podcast.
For more information about Shout Out Radio, visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Shout Out,
LGBT radio for you.
There you go.
That's drag. I might try and get
that's
down
good.
There.
So, and I love that a bit was Paloma Faith, by the way, and Stone Cold Sober. Seemed rather fitting to follow Drag Race.
Yeah.
Do you know, I love the fact that the Old Market Assembly are hosting these kind of events as well.
It's great.
They've been absolutely brilliant, I think.
But we were talking about that when we first went on air, and it was like, we're going to have to get them to like sponsor the show or something.
Yeah,
we've had two this week.
Yeah,
they'll be on the Stonewall Index before they know it.
do you know what? I wouldn't surprise me if they probably were already on it, to be honest. Yeah, absolutely brilliant.
They'll get their Diversity Award.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now,
brilliant.
Ivan, are you going to come out for a last drink at the palace this weekend?
Oh, do you know what? I'm away. I'm overseas, unfortunately. I'm going away tomorrow, and I won't be back until Sunday afternoon. Oh, actually, maybe Sunday night. Is it open Sunday
night?
No,
I think Saturday's its last.
I'm going to miss it, unfortunately. What a shame.
I know they've got the usual events. They've got, I think, for midday, they've got Puppy Palace. Then at 4,
this is on the Saturday, is it?
The Swarm got, kindly. She's kept the venue open for an extra week just so that Swarm can happen.
I'm sure it's going to be a big party.
Is Swarm going to be there on
Swarm
Saturday?
Southwest Rubbermen, and they will be there having their social. And then I know that there's some fantastic drag artists on in the evening to kind of see things out with a bang, if you like. Which should be great.
But that's going to be a lot of fun.
Swarm.space, SWRM.space, if you want to know more about them. They will be moving venue. They're in talks for other places, we've been told.
Of course, because they'll be technically homeless after Saturday. And all the other organisations, I suppose, that have regular meetings there, they're going to have to find somewhere else to go.
It's become a regular. I mean,
the Glitzy Girls often meet there as well.
They're going to have to find somewhere else as well. Maybe back over to the Shilling, I guess.
Well, we'll have to watch the space for the news on the palace.
Yeah, exactly.
So, if you can, get down this Saturday and join Joe for one last drink, because it'd
be lovely to say goodbye. Yeah. And I'm sorry I can't be there, Joe. If you're listening, I'm sorry, but good luck with your new venture.
All the best for everything.
Yeah, and next week we're doing Priscilla. Aren't we?
Yeah, we got the cast in.
We have. The whole
and you're
cast.
Not here, are you?
I'm not here,
Mr. Showtime.
I am a little bit disappointed that I'm not in. But do you know, actually, there's two productions of Priscilla going on in the same month. One down in Western and one here in Bristol. So
are you doing the Western one?
There's a little
are
bit
you covering the Western one?
I am covering the Western one. There's a little bit of rivalry going on.
Oh,
is that radio rivalry?
Not radio,
musical
theatre rivalry. Yeah. But there's plenty of space for two Priscillas, I think.
I love it.
One's down in Western and one's up here in Bristol. So, there's plenty of people to go and see it.
I saw it in London when it first opened with Jason Donovan.
I was in the front row. He sweated on me. He dripped on me.
You've got some of his DNA.
I've also got.
But how long was it before you clicked who was actually singing and where they were?
Oh, do you know what? It was such a long time ago, I can't remember. Oh, I do have a collection of ping pong balls. I'll give you that.
I bet you have.
And do you know what?
You were watching.
They
for
were
them
pink.
To come
I've
out,
got a few. I've got. I've got a few ping pong balls, and printed on them, it says, and you'll laugh at this. You will love it. It says for external use only. And that's where I'm going to leave it. That one. But it is a great show. It is a great show.
Yeah, I presume it's here in Bristol. That's why they're in it.
There's the Bristol Musical Comedy Club, isn't
it's
it?
BMCC, coming
in.
Yeah.
So their production will be in Bristol. Right. Yeah. You can tell that.
Ian Dunscombe and cast.
Yes.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
Excellent.
Will they be coming in costumed, you know?
Well, I've told him that we probably want them to sing.
So we
want at least three of them. So I've asked them to bring Lydia and Rosie along.
Yeah,
right, lovely. Okay, so that might be a bit of a treat then.
Yeah,
bit of a sing song. Because of course, I mean, you know, if people remember the movie, who haven't seen the musical theatre show, the songs are different. So it's a different music.
It
wasn't so much modernised. It was also the licensing as well. The movie as well. Yeah. So
I believe it is one of Australia's biggest ever exports.
I think it is, and of course, all revolved around ABBA now. It's all about Kylie.
Yeah. As you'd expect. Anyway,
of course.
But more on that in a bit. But that's it for this week. If you can, head to the Palace this weekend and have a farewell drink. We may even see you there ourselves.
And as always, all the information from today's show, as well as the podcast, will be on our website, shoutoutradio.lgbt.
As we were just talking about, next week we're doing Priscilla. I can't wait. I really like that. So, but for myself and the rest of the team, say bye-bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.